You're a wizard, Abby! Potter Book Club for The Goblet of Fire with
Michael DeMauro,
Sarah Tompkins,
and I'm Majaya Shrestha.
This week, we find out about Rita Skeeter Scoop, and Michael tells us more about the Daily Prophet, and the battle for the Triquizard Tournament continues.
Welcome back to another round of the Triquizard Tournament Task 2 Jeopardy! This week, the scores are Sarah at 16, Bajaya at 14, and Michael at 12. Look at that, they're all even.
I don't know.
They're all close.
Michael, pick
one. Okay.
Where's your turn
pick? Oh my god. It's been so long since I got one right. Let's go with. Let's go with. Creatures for 100.
Oh, that one went down already.
Did it?
Did I get that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
300
came down.
It's okay. I'll just ask. It doesn't matter. Ready? 300. Okay. Which underwater creatures were guarding the champion's hostages during the second task?
Mermaids. Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me. I think it was mer people.
I was really hoping someone was gonna.
Oh no! I feel bad now.
Yeah, that's really sexist of you. But you know.
Oh yeah, me assuming that the women were like the main people.
Yeah.
I hate it. The merc.
It's your turn.
I will have spells and curses for 100.
Okay. Stop. I don't want to work with you.
An unholy alliance shall not be formed, apparently.
Actually, coming up to here, Sarah said, I don't know which would be worse, me losing or Michael winning.
I'm sure. I was asked that question, and my answer was, I don't know. Okay, spells and curses for 100.
We got it. What are the unforgivable curses?
Name them.
You have to name all of them. Imperius? Mm-hmm. Avada Kedavra?
Gorgeous!
Yes!
Fuck yes!
That was supposed to be Chris 100, right? Okay. The 300.
I think I just hit all of those for that whole column.
Sure. Yeah,
I worked this separate because no one should ever tickle anyone. It's the worst.
I don't know why people think tickling people is
fun. It's terrible. Don't do it. Worked this separate.
Chapter 24, Rita Skeeter Scoop. Is it an ice cream scoop? I don't know. Her favorite ice cream flavor would be poop flavored.
Oh.
She's shitty. So it's Boxing Day, everyone. And everyone is so tired because they were up all night partying at the Yule Ball. Yeah, party. So Hermione's hair is bushy again, and she's like, yeah, I totally used Sleekeezy's hair potion the night before. That's why our hair was like all straight and sleek and shit. She's like, but it's too much.
Nice.
Yeah, but she was like, it's too much work to do it every day. So she doesn't care. So Ron and Hermione aren't really fighting anymore, but they're also like being that weirdly formal to each other. That means that they're kind of walking on eggshells around each other. So Ron and Harry tell her about, like, Hagrid, like, overhearing Hagrid and Madame Maxime's conversation about Hagrid being a half-giant, and she's like, yeah, that is totally not surprising at all. I kind of figured that this whole time. Which, if she figured that, why has she never told Ron and Harry? Maybe she just expected them to know better? But they're also Ron and Harry, so she should have known better that they wouldn't have known. But anyway, that's confusing. So she starts talking about, like, how giants are misconstrued, and it's all about bigotry, just like people think werewolves are bigotry.
Oh, stop. Sorry, go ahead.
I hate you. Harry is nervous about the second task now because, you know, before Christmas, he was like, well, you know, it's not till February. But this side of Christmas, he's like, oh shit, February 24th is coming like super soon. And he hasn't done anything with the golden egg. He just like has been taking it out of the trunk whenever he goes up to his dormitory. And he just like opens it and listens to it, like hoping that something will happen. He's been like yelling questions at it or like just yelling at it in general. And he's even thrown it across the room.
It's kind of how I feel about the universe. I'm just like, why would you tell me?
He's just like, this is the day, and it never happens. So he hasn't really forgotten about what Cedric told him about the pine fresh and taking a bath with it. But he doesn't really like Cedric right now because he's like been walking down the hallway hand in hand with Cho. So he doesn't want to follow his hint. Which are two separate things. Like, him dating the girl you like and him giving you the hint that could help you with the second task are two separate things. Jesus. Like, learn how to separate your feelings from what you have to do. So anyway, so he's decided...
He's not good at that.
Yeah, he's decided that he's not going to follow Cedric's hint right now. Classes are back in session, and it's really fucking cold outside. Like, so cold that they can't even see out of the greenhouse. So they make their way down to the Care of Magical Creatures class. But instead of Hagrid, it's Professor Grubbly Plank that greets them. And she says Hagrid is indisposed right now, but won't say much more than that. And she's, like, showing them a unicorn and tells the boys to back off because the girls, the unicorn likes, like, a woman's touch. Harry's still really worried about Hagrid, so they're like all the boys are hanging back, and Malfoy is like, don't worry, he hasn't been attacked or anything. He's just fucking too ashamed to show his face. And then he pulls out a folded newspaper page, and it's an article by Rita Skeeter titled, Dumbledore's Giant Mistake. I know. And so the article outlines, like, how Hagrid is a terrible teacher who frightens kids and puts them in harm's way, and how he created the Scroots by crossing manticores and fire crabs, which he should have known not to do because crossbreeding magical creatures is, like, should have been very closely regulated, and he knows that. Come on, Hagrid.
Why did he do it?
Because he just can't help himself. And the fact that, here's the bombshell, he is, in fact, a half-giant. His mother is the giantess Fridwulfa. Ron is like, how the fuck did Rita Skeeter find out about that? Because, like, they didn't see Rita. But Harry's like, Malfoy, Crab, you sons of bitches, why are you telling Rita that... Everybody hates Hagrid and that Crab got bit by a flubberworm. They don't even have teeth. And they're like, we're so hilarious. So the class ends and Parvati is like, I hope Grubbly Plank totally stays. And Harry's like, what about Hagrid? And she's like, what about Hagrid? He could still stay as the gamekeeper, can't he? So, Parvati's been, like, kind of icy towards Harry because Harry was a shitty date to him, to her, during the Yule Ball. Which, you know, be icy towards Harry because he was really shitty.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure justified.
Yeah. But she's also been walking around telling everyone that will listen that the Beau Baton dude is going to meet her at Hogsmeade during the next visit. So Hermione comments on how good the lesson was, and how Harry was like, oh yeah, look at this article. So Hermione's like puzzling over how Rita could have known the fact that, known that at all. And Harry's like, I'm pretty sure Hagrid didn't tell her because he didn't even tell us. And she was definitely not at the garden because we didn't see her. And plus, she's not allowed in the school anymore. So they're like, maybe it's an invisibility cloak. So after dinner, they go down to Hagrid's cabin and they knock and knock and knock and no one answers. They can hear Fang barking, but Hagrid doesn't come to the door.
Aww.
I know. So, and they don't see him for the rest of the week. So they have a Hogsmeade visit mid-January, and Hermione's very surprised that Harry's going instead of taking advantage of the quieter common room. And he's like, oh yeah, I, like kind of totally have the egg shed figured out. And Hermione's really, like, really? She's so impressed. But Harry's lying.
Is impressed the right word?
She is surprised. So on their way to the village, they see Crumb diving into the lake from their boat or their ship. And Hermione's like, yeah, it's way colder where he's from. And then Ron is like kind of like huffing and puffing. And so she's like, oh, he's really nice, you know, and he really likes it here. So Ron has been really quiet about Crumb, given how much of a huge crush he had on Crumb. But Harry definitely found a miniature arm under his bed that looked like it belonged to the Crumb model figure that Ron had.
I was going to say, he found a miniature arm. Like, in the world of Harry Potter, when you say miniature arm under his bed, like, I am like...
It could literally be an arm.
It could literally be a severed arm at this point. And I'm like, wah.
That's funny. So they go to Hogsmeade because Harry wants to see if Hagrid will be at Hogsmeade. But he's not there. But who they do see is Ludo Bagman at Three Broomsticks. Mm. He's sitting in a shadowy corner with a bunch of goblins who look very menacing. And Bagman looks very strained. He looks as strained as he did during the night of the Dark Mark attack thing. Wow. So he's like talking to the goblins and he sees Harry and comes over for a private chat. And he's like, yeah, like, the goblins are looking for Barty Crouch. He's not been at the ministry. Like, no one knows where he is. He's stopped coming. He's been absent for a couple of weeks. He's just been sending instructions to Percy by owl, but he doesn't want Rita Skeeter. Like, he's like, please don't tell anyone. Definitely not Rita Skeeter, because then she's going to find out, and she's going to say that he's gone missing, just like Bertha, who they finally started looking for.
It's only been, how many, 24 chapters?
Yeah. Now they've been looking. So he's like, yeah, Bertha definitely made it to Albania because she saw her second cousin. But then, like, somewhere between there and going to see her aunt, she fucking vanished without a trace.
Oh, that seems looking. Normal.
Yeah. So Bagman's like, hey, how are you doing with that egg? And Harry's like, yeah, it's coming along. He's like, well, you know, I feel really bad about you being flung into this competition, and I kind of really like you. I've taken a liking to you. So how about you, if you need help, you know, I would be totally willing to help. And Harry's like, you're kind of one of the judges, and I'm supposed to be working on this by myself. And Bagman says, well, you know, everybody wants Hogwarts to win. And he says, well, have you offered the help to Cedric? And Bagman's like, well, no, but like I said, I like you more. And Harry's like, nah, no, thank you. And Fred and George shows up at that time and offer to buy Bagman a drink, which he refuses and leaves the pub. After Harry recounts what everything that happened with, like, the help that Bagman offered and the thing with Crouch, Ron is like, I could totally see Percy poisoning Crouch by thinking that if Crouch doesn't come to work, he's going to be appointed his position instead. And then Hermione, he also makes fun of Hermione for wanting to take up the cause for the goblins, but Hermione's like, nobody needs to do that because they can take care of their shit by themselves. If you had listened to Professor Binns, you would know. So Rita Skeeter shows up at the Three Broomsticks.
Oh my god.
And Harry's like, yo, bitch!
Did he say that?
Why you gotta do our people like this? He did not say that, but he could have basically. So he's like, let's talk about it. Come here and tell me about, like, what your thoughts are about Hagrid. Let's tell your story. And Hermione's like, you are a terrible woman. Leave people alone. You won't even leave, like, important people like Ludo Bagman alone. And Rita's like, girl, I could tell you some things about Ludo that would make your hair curl. Not that it needs any more curling.
That's a burn.
So they leave the pub, and Ron is like, you know, she's going to come after you next. And Hermione's like, you know what? My parents don't fucking read the Daily Prophet. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to go hide. And neither is Hagrid. And she fucking starts running towards Hagrid's hut and starts pounding on his front door, yelling for him to open. But instead of Hagrid opening it, it's Dumbledore. Woo! Dumbledore opens it. So Hagrid is like puffy eyes, like just hair is all unkempt. And Dumbledore's like, well, see, these kids still want to hang out with you. And there have been many other letters from people that want you to stay here. And Hagrid's like, but there are also people that don't want me here. But Dumbledore's like, if you're holding out for universal popularity, then you're going to be in this cabin for a long time. So they all talk about, like, the bad relatives they have had, the Dursleys, and Dumbledore talks about his brother Aberforth, who was prosecuted for practicing inappropriate charms on a goat.
This isn't a children's book.
We don't know what it is. So Dumbledore's like, you know what? Fuck it. I refuse to accept your resignation, and I expect you to be at dinner tomorrow. Bye. Hagrid is, like, kind of calming down. He kind of, like, cries about how great a person Dumbledore is, a great man Dumbledore is. And he shows the three kids a picture of his dad, which is a picture of a short wizard on top of a 7 to 8 feet tall Hagrid, which was taken after he got into Hogwarts. So he was 11, and he was already 7 to 8 feet tall. But he's like, well, at least my dad didn't have to see me get expelled because he died in his second year.
Mm-hmm. That's a sad thing to say.
So, and he also talks about how happy his dad was that he got into Hogwarts because he didn't think that Hagrid had enough magical abilities because his mom was a giantess. So he talks about how Dumbledore stuck by him even after he got expelled and got him the job as gamekeeper, and how Dumbledore will accept anyone at Hogwarts as long as they have talent, because he knows people can turn out okay even if their families aren't that great.
Aww.
I know. What is it? R-A-B? Anyone? I know.
R-A-B.
So he also criticizes Madame Maxime without actually saying her name. She's like, yeah, she's big bone. If she's big bone, then I'm a tiger. He doesn't say that, but kind of, you know.
That's the gist.
Hagrid's like, when I first met you, Harry, you reminded me of you, or you of me, because you were like an outsider. You didn't think you could fit in, and now look where you are. You're the Hogwarts champion, one of the Hogwarts champions for the Triwizard Tournament. And he's like, you know what? I want you to win. I would love for you to win because it's going to show people that you don't have to be pureblood to be great. You don't have to be ashamed of who you are. And that Dumbledore is the one who has it right. And all the rest that are on about the pureblood shit are wrong. And he's like, how are you getting along with that egg? And Harry's like, it's great. It's great, Harry. It's great, Hagrid. I'm doing great with it.
We're BFFs. Getting minty fresh together.
So, like, a couple of days later, Harry's like, this lie that I told Hagrid, who's like, really wants me to win because it's going to mean so much to him. It's like weighing really heavily on him. So much that he has decided that it's time to go check out what Cedric's Hint is all about. You know, let's just do it. Let's swallow our pride and go to the prefect's bathroom, take a bath with this fucking egg. And that's where the chapter ends.
Ooh.
Take a bath with that egg.
So new things is giants. They kind of talk all about, they talked about giants being like violent and everything last chapter, but they, Rita Skeeter's chapter elaborated on it more, just saying that they are violent. They sided with Voldemort during the Great War, during the Great Wizarding War.
Not great.
And it's funny that Hagrid has befriended Harry because Harry, like, the fact that Voldemort lost the Wizarding War is the reason why all the giants got driven up to the mountains where they live now in the caves. So he's like, that's kind of funny. So the second thing is Barty's mysterious illness. I don't know what it is. What
right, because he was gone from the Yule Ball last time. He sent Weatherby in his place.
Yeah. Third new thing. I don't know if we've ever heard of Aberforth before. I don't think we have.
I think that this is the first time we've talked about Aberforth.
Yeah, him and his goats are...
Oh, I don't like that at all.
New. And Hagrid's dad. So I'm going to talk about Pottermore stuff first before I ask my... I have several questions. So, like, a Pottermore thing, just giants have violent nature, and they're also known to remove heads when angered.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they live in the mountains. And Aberforth is the surly, obviously Dumbledore's brother, and surly bartender of Hogshead. His birthday is circa 1883. Patronus is a goat. This is my favorite part. Hobbies is goats.
No. Oh,
come on now.
Pottermore literally says Patronus, goat, and hobbies, goats.
I don't like that. Somebody on Pottermore is having a great time.
Obviously, I got a kick out of it. So, my questions, the first one is just kind of a statement. Like, I know Hagrid loves magical creatures, but that doesn't make him a good teacher. Like, Grubbly Plank, because Hermione even is like, this is, like, the most we have learned about a magical creature, like, all year, basically. Like, he loves magical creatures, and maybe he has extensive knowledge about magical creatures, but I don't think he's the best teacher. He's not a very good teacher.
He seems to be a terrible teacher.
He's a really bad, I love him, he's a bad teacher.
Instead of, like, teaching him about existing magical creatures, he just is creating more, apparently, that are super dangerous.
Right. Well, because he's creating more because he introduced them to super dangerous ones that he couldn't control. And he just, it's not good.
Yeah. I do like the fact that in this chapter, they're going down to the care of magical creatures, and Ron is like, well, hopefully the blast-ended scroots have gotten so powerful that their tail end will set off Hagrid's hut on fire and will be warm because it's so cold.
Now,
Silver
Hagrid
lining.
Has like the potential to be a good teacher, but he lets his own,
passion?
Proclivities.
Yeah, he cares. Like, as I say, it's not even like he cares too much. It's just that he doesn't place that care.
He's
in the
a weirdo.
Right place.
Yeah,
he's a weirdo, but not in a way that is passionately informing. Just in a way that's
right.
passionate in like actually the passionate true sense. I had a professor once who wouldn't let us use the word passionate because she said that the word passionate implied pain in addition to fervor. And I think that he's actually passionate in the true sense of the word.
Yeah. So, second question is, how is Rita getting these hot scoops?
I bet she just pays people.
I bet she has those extendable ears.
Extendable ears and lots of galleons to pay people.
Have you guys not read the rest of the books?
Oh my god, I will punch you in your face. It's magic.
I'm not saying that there are Russians involved in hacking the Owl Post, but Russians are hacking the Owl Post.
You can't. There's, you know, electrical equipment like that doesn't work at Hogwarts.
I didn't say that there's electrical equipment involved. I'm saying Russian owls.
The Owl Post.
I'm saying Russian owls.
You use the word hack.
Yeah,
unless it's like they're hacking of owls, which is rude.
They could be. You don't know that
with knives. I don't know.
That's
they're
cruel.
Just hacking them. So I'm not going to let Michael answer that question because I know what he's going to say. Here's the third question. Crouch, they said, Bagman said, has been gone for like weeks. If I've been gone from work for weeks, even though I'm sending it instructions on like, or like I am doing work from home or whatever, they're going to check up on me to see what is wrong with me. It's not like he has a wife or a son
literally,
that they
no,
could,
no,
they
it's true. It's because like literally
to.
Today, one of my coworkers wasn't in the, we couldn't find him in the office and he hadn't said he was going to be on PTO or anything like that. And we were all like, we should text him. Like, we're all worried yeah. about him because literally he said that he didn't say he was going to be out of the office that day and he wasn't, you know, on a shoot, like on a video shoot or anything like that. And we're like, where is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think like, even though they could like be okay with him getting the job done for not like being in the office, just be concerned that your coworker, your friend, your like colleague has been at home, like, apparently homebound for like 2 weeks. Like, go take him some chicken noodle soup or some tomato soup. See what he's what's happening. That's rude.
But maybe people only do that if you're somebody that is liked.
Maybe.
Yeah, no one ever
brought
me anything.
Yeah, Michael, has anyone ever brought you soup?
No, never.
I didn't think that.
Has someone ever sent you a cake to work, though?
Yes, but only to say mean things via cake.
I also didn't think that wizards could be sick for this long if it wasn't like a permanent thing, you know? I don't know. Right. So my fourth one is, these are all stupid questions. What charm did Aberforth practice on the goat? We could always guess on that one, which we shouldn't. I'm just like putting that out there. Maybe he turned it into something the goat shouldn't be. Let's not make it gross.
Mm-hmm,
I'm gonna keep moving. So this is
also keep going.
You don't have to answer this question either. I just want to put this out there into the universe. How did Hagrid's dad, who was apparently a very short man, have relationships with the giantess?
We don't need to talk about that.
He was a short man, but he had a
he was gifted in all the right ways.
Like Michael said, it's not about the motion of the it's not the size of the wand. It's about the swish and the flick.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he used an engorgement charm, right?
No.
All right.
I quit the podcast.
He was a wizard.
Ron did think that there was an engorgement charm involved.
Maybe he was right in a strange way.
I regret asking this question. All right, my last question.
Bajaya, you knew that you were opening that door.
I know. Please do not tweet us about what you think your theory is, because I will quit Twitter.
Don't tweet me or Michael. Just tweet Bajaya.
Yeah.
No! So my last question is, did Hagrid not have any other relatives other than, like, his dad? Because it seems really weird that a 13 to 14-year-old kid, because he was in his third year at Hogwarts when he got expelled, to train and work as a gamekeeper. Or maybe it was because he was a half giant, like, Dumbledore.
I bet he has no other siblings or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he does, but, like, maybe his dad has, like, a cousin or a brother?
Or maybe they've all disowned him. Maybe there's like a giant who's like a stepbrother, a half brother, or something.
Yeah. Well,
they're probably
actually,
not the best to look after a 13-year-old.
I was gonna say, come to think of it, it's not really like you can't really expect like a normal size human being to take a half giant into your house. Then you'd have to redo your house.
Well, also,
like
by the way,
years until
also,
he gets
like, if you think about it, like, we don't know what giants' perceptions or culture around family is. Maybe there's not really a culture about keeping, like, close to your parents or siblings. Maybe that's just not a thing that happens in the giant community. We're assuming a lot of things about the giant community that might not be true.
Maybe he had aunts and uncles on his dad's side, but they were so ashamed by him getting expelled that they disowned him.
Don't say that.
That
makes me sad.
Just, you know,
well, better to be. I don't know if it's better to be ashamed of him for being expelled than being a half giant. I don't know. But anyway, that was all my inappropriate questions, and that's my chapter. Yay!
Wow,
it was great.
A lot of stuff happened that chapter, though.
It did.
We learn about goats and giants and goats.
I don't
want to
hear about a lot of that
goats.
Stuff.
Do you want to hear about the Daily Prophet?
Yes.
Do I have to hear about goats again?
A little
Maybe.
Bit.
Maybe. We'll find out.
Okay.
Let's just go to the Daily Prophet.
Hey, who wants to hear about the Daily Prophet?
Not me.
Me.
There's an extensive paragraph in Pottermore about the Daily Prophet, and I'm going to relay all this information to you, and then we can discuss it.
I'm so ready to discuss it.
So, the Daily Prophet is the only wizarding newspaper of note in Britain. There's other little tiny junk things like the Quibbler, but it's the only quote-unquote real newspaper. So there's that. They have their headquarters in Diagon Alley. Their paper is delivered...
What?
Diagonally.
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 And their paper is delivered every day by owl to nearly every wizarding household in Britain.
That's a huge subscription.
That's a lot.
I feel like they have a monopoly.
They do.
Well, how many wizards are there in England? There can't be that many, but it's
many.
That's a pretty good distribution if everybody's getting it. Do they have to pay for it, or is it just kind of...
Yeah.
They pay the owl literally every time. Yeah. They give the owl coins.
But every single household wants it?
Apparently.
Well, they want to be up on the news.
Okay.
I think maybe they share like subscriptions like Netflix.
That's probably true.
It's like the...
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
What's your Daily Prophet password?
I can't tell you. It's illegal.
Okay.
Every once in a while, something really cool will happen, and then they'll put out... an evening prophet.
Woo! Oh, shit!
Yeah, when things get wild. So they're kind of known for not being entirely unbiased. They're not, like, super great about that. They're not super journalistic. They, in fact, have sensationalist tendencies, like their star reporter Rita Skeeter.
Rita Skeeter.
They've definitely been influenced by the ruling power more than once. And note that I say the ruling power and not... the Ministry of Magic, which they've also been influenced by.
Well, they've probably been around for a very long... How long have they been around for?
That does not come up.
Okay. Because if they say ruling power, I feel like that implies that it's been since at least before there were actual elections, so...
Right. Maybe. Well, you know, maybe
Elizabeth
the ministry gets taken over at some point. Well, who knows?
We don't really know much about pre-ministry days and like when the Tudors or the Stuarts were in power or anything like that.
Yeah. Anyway. So the article suggests that maybe it has something to do with their name, which is the Daily Prophet, and Prophet being a homonym for like the getting money profit. So essentially says
good joke.
They're in it for the
money.
That sweet
galleons,
newspaper money.
All them galleons.
So wizard kind doesn't really require alternative political flavors in their news coverage.
Oh,
they're kind of cool. They're kind of cool with just having like one take on things,
All right.
Which is a little weird. It goes on about how wizards are, you know, a small sort of outsider community, but they're generally interested in the same kinds of stories like Quidditch League results and people getting in trouble and... this new irritating legislation by the Misuse of Muggle Artifacts Office and things like that. Or like, when's the next Celestina Warbeck, our Weird Sister concert? I mean...
You need to know that information.
You gotta know. And then she goes on to suggest that wizards are likely to continue to favor newsprint over, say, the internet and things like that.
Nice.
Why is that?
Well,
wizards are like set in their ways.
She's like, well, if Muggle newspapers had moving images on them as well, they'd probably still be popular too.
I guess if they were gifts, and when I opened it up, I'd be like, sure.
Mm,
but I couldn't share them, so maybe not.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if that's the greatest argument ever, but. But there we are. And that is the entirety of the information that I've gleaned from this article.
So actually,
some questions.
Okay.
But
questions. Do your questions.
But you can go ahead.
Oh, no. My initial reaction was, so, and this is this is very strange and specific, but when I was in the UK for a semester, I took a course on British media and particularly British news publications.
Okay.
And it's different than US news publications in that the essential philosophy behind American news and news organizations and news publications is that they're unbiased, quote unquote. In fact, some very biased news organizations in the US actually use that, or did use it as their sort of slogan.
Which one are you talking about?
I don't know who I'm talking about. But in the UK, they don't, the idea of unbiased isn't actually a thing.
Huh.
And people know that each news publication, or basically people know that each news publication they're going to buy is biased in a certain way. It doesn't necessarily change how people feel, because I think that there's still a sense of I'm going to read what helps support my own bias and my own agenda. And I think that's just true of humankind. But the idea of having unbiased versus biased isn't really as big of a deal. I mean, obviously, the BBC is actually one of the more even news sources because it's government supported, taxpayer essentially funded. So that's actually, that's a little bit more biased just because they are funded by everybody in the UK. But individual newspapers, some of which are owned by Rupert Murdoch, who owns some news organizations in the US, has some more conservative leanings in the UK, all that stuff. So all that to say, the idea of unbiased isn't necessarily, that's a pretty American thing. So yeah. I don't think the Daily Prophet, it's weird that there's no counter to the Daily Prophet, except well, maybe if you did the Quibbler or something, which is more like the Inquisitor.
Right.
Or which is not quite.
This is my first question. Same.
But yeah. So anyways, my initial instinct was the idea of bias is a very American thing.
Right.
And it's weird though that they only have one paper and not two.
So there, this is my first question. Why is there no competition? Why do we think that this is just, they're like, cool, one paper's good, we're good. Do we have any theories?
Maybe they're just really fair and balanced.
But they're definitely not.
Fair and balanced, that's what they say.
Yeah.
No, they're not. I mean, maybe just because, I don't know, maybe because there's not enough readership to, I mean, although that's interesting though, because like obviously there are different, like each place in the US has like a different town newspaper and whatnot, and potentially that's going to be a very much smaller readership than the Daily Prophet. So you think that there would be at least some sort of more radical option, and radical not in the sense of like tabloid and weird crazy theorist, but just a more conservative or more liberal. I don't actually know where the Daily Prophet falls in terms of wizard politics, but you would think that there would be at least one competitor, or even one, you know, sort of more counterculture zine style, because it can't be that hard to magic up a zine that kind of protests that.
I would feel like, so growing up in Nepal, like obviously Nepal probably had a bigger, at least the capital city that I lived in had a bigger readership than probably the Muggle world, the Wizarding world in the United Kingdom did. But I feel like growing up, we only had like one main newspaper, and it was just like, and my dad got two of them, which was one was in Nepali and one was the same thing in English.
Huh.
I think pretty much they might have like a couple articles separate, but there were some other newspapers that he used to get like during his like drive home from work or whatever. He would just pick it up like from a small shop, and it was like a smaller production. It was a smaller newspaper, and it had different articles, different points of views. And maybe they're like those kinds that are out there. They're like not the Quibbler, not the Daily Prophet, but maybe not in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Because I remember one that used to be more liberal than the main newspaper we used to get. But there's that.
Weird. All right. So my next question is, is this really the most efficient way to collect money per newspaper? Like,
they have a public, they have a public drive every few months in which, like, owls come and bore you for like 4 hours where they like talk about content that you actually want to hear. And then they're like, but if you support us, you could get, you know, you could get a Weird Sisters you know, limited edition LP signed by the Weird Sisters. If you donate 30 galleons.
But obviously, like, they have a means to, like, get mail order stuff. Like, because Sirius got the Firebolt mail ordered for Harry. So obviously they can do, like, mail ordered billing, right? So they can just be like, just pay for the whole fucking year. Stop sending us coins every day.
It's crazy. It's madness.
Can you imagine how many owls just spill into their office with coins?
They have to have an owl for, like, every person, right?
Well, I don't know. If like, it could be, like sort of like the postal system in the U.S. or UPS or whatever, where you have one owl who delivers to different areas.
A bunch of people. So, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, and the readership, honestly, how many, like, again, the UK is not as big, or England especially, so the UK, England, whatever, is not as big as America, geography and population-wise, and they can't, like, what's the percentage of wizards? You could think about how many owls would be able to deliver to X amount of wizards in a day. You just might get yours a couple hours later than somebody across town.
Yeah. Right.
That's true.
So, like, so it says nearly every wizarding household gets one, but yet in book one, Hagrid gets his on, like, the shack on the rock in the sea.
I mean, I think we've already figured out that owls, if you're not at home, owls can be like, oh, Hagrid's not at his groundskeeper shack. He's at this one shack out
which
here.
Is super I'm convenient.
They're very smart.
It's super convenient because, like, when I was out of town a couple weekends ago and I forgot that I'd ordered Blue Apron and I had to, like, text my roommates to be like, bring it in because otherwise the fish is going to be gross. And other, like, could have just been delivered straight to me wherever I was.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
That would have been real nice.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook or dine, whatever.
Go to blueapron.com/potterpot.
That's not an actual thing. I didn't mean that supposed to be an advertisement. I just mostly am, like, honestly.
You can go to blueapron.com/dragons. Who wants to do that?
Do you get a percentage off for a free week of meals or something?
Probably. I don't remember.
I think so.
It's great. I love Blue Apron. I'm not in any way.
They usually do, like, two meals for free or something.
Alan, cut this all out.
Codes.
No, leave it all in. Gotta get that money.
Leave it all in. Get all that Blue Apron money.
We don't get it. Cut it out.
All that to say, owls are real smart, and if owls could deliver it, it would be much better.
Yeah.
Blue Apron, get on
this
that.
Is true. So there is a wireless, right? There's, like, a radio?
Yes. I think I'm in a wireless internet connection, and I'm like, again, I'm not sure why there are not counter publications.
Yes, yeah. It's World, so like Witching, Wireless Witching Network, WWN, that's what it is.
So do we think that they have news programs on the wireless? Probably.
I do, because they have, what is the show that Molly listens to all the time?
Celestina Warbucks?
Yeah, Felicity Warbucks. Like, I feel like they have to have, like, I feel like Felicity Warbucks is, like, their version of Delilah.
Oh my god, I forgot about Delilah.
I was like, I don't know if you guys have Delilah or know Delilah. I feel like she's syndicated nationally. But I feel like that's kind of what she is about. What, you don't know who Delilah is, Michael?
No. Did she cut Samson's hair?
You're like, yes. And then she plays My Heart Will Go On because it makes Samson.
She plays like soft rock shit.
She takes requests, Michael.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to tweet you about how awesome Delilah is. Anyway.
It's like,
I feel like, they're
go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I was not going to talk about Delilah more, so you should definitely do it.
No, go ahead.
But I just feel like there has to be at least some sort of BBC-esque or NPR-esque, you know, like, public-funded news network, right? That's more biased than Daily Prophet.
It never comes up if there is, so. But you would think there would be.
You would think there would be, because people do listen to the wireless there.
Do they just listen? Is it just music? Or do they, like, have...
I don't know.
They have interesting radio plays and stuff? Like, podcasts?
What? Celestina, what are you doing? Expelliarmus!
They kind of have podcasts later while people are on the run, right?
They do.
That's true. Totally do. That's very
the most
true.
Depressing podcast, but it's kind of a podcast.
Kind of, yeah.
Today, Lord Voldemort killed five people. About a cadaver.
I like these sound effects you're doing.
I feel like it's like old vaudeville, like we're riding a horse through the forest.
Clack, 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 clack.
All right.
So that's all I got. It was pretty. That's a lot.
That's good.
Really good.
I feel
good,
like there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to think about, and I feel like we need to know what the alternative to the Daily Prophet is, because I don't know if I subscribe. Not really only because I don't want to pay my owl, but also I don't know if I believe in their politics.
It's fair and balanced, just like us and Fox News. Bye. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
For joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Our editor is Alan Matthews. Our artwork was done by Jesse Carlton, and our music was done by Sean Fagan. I know you want to help us out, so why don't you head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review? And also, send us an email so we can talk to you. You can do that by emailing us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Hey, I know you all want to keep talking to us, so find us on Twitter at PotterPod.
I'm Michael, and you can find me at Thrifty Nerd.
I'm Sarah, and you can find me at Her Lady Tompkins.
And I'm Vijaya, and you can find me at Ethnic Ninja. Was that okay?
I'll do it one more time.
It was great.
Oh, okay. Apparently it wasn't great.
Sorry!
Jesus. I just came here to have fun. I feel really attacked right now.
I'm really, really attacked right now. Surprise, bitch.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Surprise, bitch.
I feel like in my mind, I came here to have a fun time. I feel really attacked right now. Is so intimately like a surprise, bitch. I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me. Those two are like
it is
entwined
not
in my mind in terms for memes. Okay, sorry, continue.
This week, we find out what Rita Skeeter's scoop is all about. Michael lets us know what the Daily Prophet is going on about. And, oh, that's not good. Hold on.
What's the deal?
This week, we find out. Okay. This week, we find out. Stop laughing!